All right. Now we're on to item six, I think. Lost track, thank you.
Take care, everybody.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
All right, item six, consider and take possible action to adopt the 2026 Cicera budget. Henry, good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Speaking of numbers.
Speaking of numbers.
Here you are.
Speaking of audit, what a segue, what a great opportunity. Although contrary, mine will be concise, interesting, and moving along.
Tough room.
Moving along. I'm happy to present to you the budget summary and a request for a proposed total budget for 2026. Consistent with our mission of effectively and accurately administer benefits and be prudent stewards of our assets, all the cost, the approach we take there is all the cost to run Cicera as a plan is reflected in the budget, with the exception of the benefits themselves and the cost for the manager fees. But everything else is reflected here, and so we can summarize and talk about it. Okay? So as we move along, feel free to jump in with any questions. I'll keep it moving along. The way we constructed this is a two-part presentation. We want to show you how Cicera is doing with the current budget of 2025. So we measure it up to three quarters in the year through September 30th. And using that information and that analysis, we project and we propose what our needs are going to be for next year. That's what the proposed budget's about. So having said that, let's gravitate over to page four real quick. We'll talk about what are the increases of what we need. So there's a lot of numbers, a lot of busy information here, but to summarize, the greenish part of it on the left-hand side is our current status of this year, budget to actuals for 2025. And that's the information that we're using to project over on the right-hand side the columns for the 2026 proposed. Okay, the format, the line items, they're assembled in the same way that we present our audit report. We group our expenses in categories. We start off with our professional, our personal services, our staff. We follow with professional services, our traditional office expenses, the IT system cost, and we conclude with asset depreciation. That's how it kind of lends itself to follow all these moving parts. So the first thing to gravitate is, let's go down to the bottom line. So down at the bottom, our budget for 2025 was 22.9, and through September 30th, we've incurred 15.6, leaving about 7.2, and it leaves 32% of budget savings. So the way to look at this is that this is three quarters in the year, so ideally that number should be at around 25% remaining fuel in the tank, right? If you have more than that, you're running under budget. If you're running less, you're running over budget. But it's not really a bad sign or an improper sign. It's something to be reviewed. So at 32%, the first thing we do is we examine. Maybe something that we planned for didn't happen or what. So the next step is I'll just have you kind of go through that column and you kind of look at that budget remaining. And most items are in the 25% range. Some are at 19, some are at 20, 22. So that tells us that our budget for personnel services, professional services, office expenses was in line with what we estimated for the year. There's some pluses and minuses throughout the way, but generally speaking, we're in line with what we thought. It's when we get down to the information technology systems and the asset depreciation where we see some higher numbers, right? And they appear to be way under budget conditions. You know, you see 47% for the IT systems group, 97% for the asset depreciation. So you begin to examine that, you find out, it's like, what happened? Well, it has to do with our Corps pension system. We thought it was going to go live January 2025 or thereabouts. So we had cost built into the budget, assuming we were going to experience it. It just went live a few weeks ago here. So that's what's bringing into play this under budget situation. So if you back that out, that 32% would fall more than what we're expected, 25.
Remind me, Henry, are these cash numbers, are there any accruals in this, or is this just on
a
cash basis?
Yes, for accounting reasons, yes. If we did cash, it'd be a different skew. We'd be skewing the numbers, So these are incurred, accrued numbers.
Okay.
Right. So we keep the books open and make sure we receive all the bills. So, for example, a bill paid in October that's really a September bill, it gets reflected in here.
Got it. No, that's exactly what I was asking.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Same thing at the end of the year. Great accounting question. We keep the year open because some invoices are tardy, so we need to reflect them in there.
Okay.
So that's the basis that we use, and then that tells us, okay, when I sit down with our managers, our company, and all our team players, and we do our estimates, we take a look at what we spent so far, and we project. And that's how we build next year's numbers. So the good thing is that now we know we have a pension system live. We know what the costs are going to be. We have a pretty good handle on our projections of what we've spent so far. We feel more comfortable about this projection for 2026. So we'll talk about how that one is increasing, decreasing, so on and so forth. Make sense?
Yeah.
No questions? Okay, good, good. So, again, we're asking for a 6% increase in our new budget if we move over to the right-hand side. So for this year, we're proposing a 24.3 budget, which is about $1.4 million increase over last year, 6%. And the reasons for that is basically all the positions, 73, are fully staffed. No vacancies. Everybody who's supposed to be here is here. That's good. There's some negotiated pay scales, some wage increases, and things of that nature, and that's the biggest chunk of that 6% increase. If we move over to page 5, we'll summarize all this activity here. The upper graph is basically in those general categories. You see what the increases are about. The 6%, the biggest contributing factor, is staffing, personnel services. Next to that is professional services, and what's inside of that is our attorneys, our investment manager. We hired Makita. We expect to use more investment legal, some fiduciary legal. Their fees were increasing, so we put a provision for that, and that's what that increase is about there.
Does it, in the, and I know I should know this, the professional services bucket, does that include our litigation transaction cost as well? Thought it did, but I may be wrong.
The fees for the attorneys, yes.
Yeah, so all the pending litigation we have,
yes.
So good luck budgeting that.
We have a wild conversation.
I've been doing it a long time, and I've blown every litigation budget I've ever tried to make, to be honest with you.
Absolutely, absolutely. We have a wild conversation with our general counsel, and it's like,
it's
very informative. I appreciate Karen's efforts and.
Well, you know, the old coaching saw is control the controllables, and most of that expense is out of your control, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's driven by what the other parties are doing or what happens to you or what gets filed.
Absolutely.
Can't control.
Absolutely. I try not to talk to any attorneys because I hear there's a meter running, so I try and prevent the
there is that.
It's just that, it starts clicking. So I try and be very cautious of any of that approach. But inside of this line item is the consulting team, the investment consulting people, the auditors, we're going to use some more of disability reviews. They have their cost in there. So that's the professional services line item. Inside our traditional office expenses, this is the rent, this is postage, this is our travel, our education, to send teams to conferences, to take advantage of webinars. The cost to get there has escalated, So that gets factored in there. But we also have other needs. We're going to be getting a telephone system that's going to be tied into our pension system. It's really robust, so there's some exciting news about that, and we have cost in there. But that's some of that. And then moving over to the right on the graph, IT systems and asset depreciation, as we spoke. Inside IT systems, this is all the subscription, the annual subscription, the hosting cost, internet-based data services. I use some for our general ledger that's on the cloud. Tim uses a lot for a lot of data services he have. CORS, the new pension system, is going to have its own hosting costs, so there's stuff in there. But the biggest chunk of that, why it's going down, is our project. You've met Jesse.
Right.
That team is dwindling down. We're going to use Jesse to help us out, finish out the implementation. So we have a little bit of time for him. But that's why that budget is decreasing, because that one is coming to an end.
Right.
And then we spoke about asset
it's
depreciation.
Item 9, right?
Beg your pardon?
Item 9 today is extending that contract, right? Which I think you were...
Exactly.
We're going to continue that relationship.
Exactly. And then asset depreciation. We spoke at our last meeting about the cost of the pension system. We're entitled to spread that cost over 10 years. So that began November 1st for 10 years. And that's going to be, spread over 10 years. We'll have another graph that will touch on that. But before we get to that, I just wanted to say that in the budget itself, there's a cap, a legal cap on certain costs. Those are called administrative costs, and everything besides that is non-administrative. That's what the circle graph is about. I just want to bring that to everybody's attention, that the administrative cap is 70% of this budget is capped legally.
And we're well below the cap.
We're well below. We're at 13 basis points. The law says 21, so we're slightly over half. So that's a great sign. We're managing it very effectively, very prudently, very well. The non-administrative, that's investment and their overhead, legal and their overhead, plus a little element of IT disaster recovery costs. Those are must. We want to be sure in case something happens. That's what's inside that. We good so far? No questions? Okay. Moving on to this table and graph here. This is basically our pension system and our contracts. The upper table is our status of our contracts. There's two. ICON was our data cleansing project. And then the contract we have is Sagitech to develop and create it. So basically, the first column is what we contracted with these folks. As of go live are the costs right next to it. You can see that's about $8.3 million. That's roughly the amount that's going to be the value of the asset that we're going to spread over 10 years. The remaining contract costs, those are all going to be hosting, maintenance, support, things of that nature. Those aren't asset costs. So as we get the invoices, we'll pay them cash basis.
Right.
Scott, okay?
Now, the invoices would still come out of this budget, or would it go to the 26 budget?
In the 26 budget, it'll show up in the IT department, right? What I'm trying to demonstrate is which ones are depreciable and which ones are not. So we're basically done with the depreciable part. There might be a little bit coming up because we're going to launch the employer portal, and the member portal. So there might be a little bit of invoices come through in the next month or so. Okay, but generally speaking, the majority of it is here, Lou, right?
Henry, how do you determine what goes to everyday expenses and what goes into the property account and the asset account?
Great question. After studying the audit rules, without going too much into it, but if you're in construction, if you're in development, and if you're in design, you're entitled to call it an asset. Once you go live, any cost of that asset are considered non-depreciable, non-asset. So it's a timing of when you actually put it in use. And we were probably a little bit more aggressive last year, and we thought, the hosting while we're testing and so on and so forth, you know, in other words, the costs are recurring now. We included them last year, and it was probably a little too much. That's why we're taking them off.
It's basically a team effort to come up with the two percentages, the expense percentage and the capital percentage.
Absolutely. And the audit rules, speaking of Brown Armstrong, what we can put, there's some audit statements that tell us what you can do and what you can't do. And typically is when you go live with something, any cost incurred after that, hosting, support, maintenance, you might want to call it punch list items, things you need to fix the system to get it doing what it's doing. Those are operating costs. But for the most part, everything's here. So the majority of the costs are here. So we're entitled to spread these over the 10 years. So it'll show up in the depreciation line item for the next 10 years. And roughly the table on the bottom is telling you how much of that. So around 800,000 will show up in every budget to depreciate. Once it's fully depreciated, that'll be a savings. Okay? And there's some other small assets there. We still got about 4 years left on the leasehold improvements when we moved in, right? So we'll see a little bit of that. But that's what the other line items are about there, the depreciation. Okay? Any questions so far? No?
No.
So that's the story behind the budget status through the third quarter, how we use it to propose, you know, where the increases and decreases are occurring. You know, we want to be totally transparent. We spoke about that everything it takes to run the plan reflects through here, with the exception of benefits, investment manager fees, so we can have an idea what it takes to run the place. Having said all that, that concludes the remarks. I promise to keep it brief.
All right.
Hope you enjoyed it as much as I did.
You appreciate that. It's,
yeah.
Gary? I think I've heard a couple of references to phone system number. Can you tell us a little kind of about what that means? Is that a replacement or an upgrade or an enhancement? What are the phone system?
And I'll ask Colin because he's been kind of heading this phone system project for us.
Yeah, sure. So our plan is to replace our existing phone system sometime in the middle of next year. We've already worked with a few different vendors to take a look at what's out there in the marketplace, and we're expecting to basically completely replace what we're using now with a more modern and up-to-date system that we can integrate with our pension administration software.
I'm going to get your leads to grab even top three vendors that might be interested. What are we talking about?
We've seen one called Intermedia that looks pretty good, and another called Dialpad. And I'd say those are the top two contenders right now. And those are two nationally recognized kind of major players in that space. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions on the proposed budget or any of the items? And if not, is there a motion to adopt the budget?
26 budget.
Is that a motion?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to adopt the 2026 budget as presented. Any additional questions, comments? Hearing none, let's vote on the motion. Chibodrev.
Aye.
Gordon.
Aye.
Holcomb.
Aye.
Kroll.
Aye.
McDonald.
Aye.
Nurswell.
Aye.
Phillips.
Aye.
Finley.
Aye.
And Wall. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Yes. Come on. I can't even read.
Yes.
It's time, baby.
Yes. Yes, yes.
Sorry. Yes, I know, Jay, who you are.
Yes.
I'm going to record that as an aye vote. All right, that carries 9-0. Thank you, Henry.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
All right.